You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And Mark, we're going to start our positional breakdowns this week. We'll do a different position each week leading up to spring training, which is a little over a month away. Hard to believe, but it's coming fast, and Braves fans, maybe head down to Florida, get ready for spring training. But beyond that, we'll talk about catchers today, but let's do some other newsworthy stuff before we get to that, Mark. And start with Freddie Freeman. Sounds like he's going to play for Canada in the World Baseball Classic. Surprised at all?
Not really. I mean, you know, maybe the only surprise was that, if Votto was going to play, you thought Freeman's not going to go there just to provide some assistance here and there. He wants to be, wants to play on a consistent basis if you're leaving spring training. So, once Votto made it clear that he was not going to play, I think this was the expectation that Freeman would go ahead and play for Canada. It's where his maternal grandparents, his mother's from there. His mother's always obviously held a special place in his heart and his career, just from the fact, she passed away when he was, I believe, 9 years old from melanoma. And he's just, there's just everything he does, he's never forgotten her memory. He talks about the times where there was a light pole out in right center field at the little park that his dad used to throw BP to, and his mother at that time was, she was in remission. She was out walking the dog, and the first time he hit that light pole that he'd always been aiming for, she was standing right underneath it. And he wears the sleeves there in her memory. Just to do something in her honor, I can see that. I can see why he wants to go ahead and play in this event and represent her country.
Yeah, and that's a great backstory behind some of the reasoning for Freddie Freeman playing for Canada. Good stuff. Brandon Phillips, reports came out, Mark, that he blocked a trade to the Braves. He did the similar thing last year, possible trade from the Reds. It seems like he just wants to play things out in Cincinnati. But it sounds like it wasn't that he was completely against going to the Braves as much as the Reds couldn't quite kind of check all the boxes that he needed to take place in order to allow it to happen. They've said maybe the door's not closed. Do you see any situation where this could be revisited and Phillips could end up being a Brave?
I mean, I think from the Reds' end, obviously they got to a point to where the process where they had to ask for his permission, they went that far down the road. They're hoping that the door's still open from the Braves' perspective. I don't see any reason for the door to still be open because after this occurred, I went ahead and signed Sean Rodriguez, who I see playing second base on getting most of the reps there until Albies is ready. Ozzie Albies is ready at some point this year, maybe next year. Whatever the case, I do believe that they are in a better spot with Rodriguez, unless they were getting, and this is what the expectation was, that they certainly weren't going to be paying much of Phillips' contract. It was just going to be a destination place or a place for the Reds to send him for the Braves give up. It wasn't a top 10 prospect per se. It was something that made sense for the Braves at the time. I think that they since see that Sean Rodriguez is a better fit. And, while the Reds may hope that door is still open, I don't think the Braves view it that way.
The Braves pull off a trade on Wednesday, Mark, as well. They send away a couple of young players, get some young talent in return. Malik Smith, really probably the name that sticks out as far as players going to Seattle. And he actually eventually ended up in Tampa Bay as Seattle swung another trade. But let's talk about who the Braves are getting in this deal. Luis Gohara and Thomas Burrows. How do these guys fit into the Braves system organization right now?
Both these guys are going to be at the lower levels, but this is another instance where the Braves basically cleared some excess off their 40-man roster. A couple guys that didn't factor into their immediate plans, they went and tried to enrich their farm system with two power arms, especially Gohara. To look at Gohara was ranked fifth in the Mariners system by MLBPipeline.com. I don't know exactly where he's going to fit within Atlanta's system. My guess is somewhere there between 10 and 15. A good-looking 20-year-old prospect who's he was touched, his fastball's touched near 100. But I think the intriguing thing is not only is he a hard thrower, but his secondary stuff has developed enough to the point where he at least keep open the hope that he could develop into a starter. Burroughs, I see both these guys either starting at Class A Rome, or down there with the new team in Florida, the Class A Advanced team. Burroughs probably could come a little bit faster just because he had some collegiate experience there at the University of Alabama as their closer. He's a little bit older. And, you know, once he gets his feet under him this year, starts his first full professional season, I could see him rising quickly, especially if he lives up to the Braves' expectations. But the centerpiece of this deal was Gohara. Like I said, it's a good-looking left-hander that's from Brazil. We certainly don't talk about prospects from Brazil too often, but he's had some hiccups here during his early years, but he's just 20. To go ahead and take a couple guys like Malik Smith and Shea Simmons, who didn't fit into this year's plans and probably not beyond if some of their other prospects continue to develop like they expect. The Braves just simply tried to add a few more arms to us. A system that is very rich in pitching right now.
All right, let's get into the backstop position for this Atlanta Braves team heading into 2017, Mark. And I know late in the 2016 season, there was a lot of talk about, oh, maybe it's a great time to bring back Brian McCann, trade for him, because there's an availability there to upgrade the catcher position. And then there was even talk maybe the Braves would get involved in Matt Wieters as far as free agency goes. In the end, at this point, Matt Wieters is still available, but it seems like the Braves kind of have their guys. And just let's start with how it all plays out. They did add a catcher in Tuffy Goswitch, claiming him off waivers from the D-backs. But if the season started tomorrow, is Tyler Flowers going to be a guy that how many games does he play, I guess, is the question, behind the plate for the Braves in 2017?
Yeah, I think the expectation would be that Flowers catches that right there in between that 100 to 110, makes 110 starts behind the plate there. Whether Wrecker takes up, you know, each of those other games, or like you said, they added Goswitch. I don't think that they're going to go outside. If they were going to go outside the organization and make a significant move, especially on the free agent market, it would have been with Wilson Ramos. You know, and obviously Ramos's injury there the final week of the season halted that pursuit, their potential pursuit. You know, even as they went through the early portion of this offseason, you know, I was still hearing that, what if Ramos is willing to take one year and $5 million? That really wasn't feasible, because you look at that and he's probably not going to be able to play until June. What are you paying for there? I mean, it made sense for him to go to an American League team. The Rays deal made a lot more sense for him. This brings us back to Wieters. While you may hear something that, you know, you'll continue to hear, the Braves are still keeping their ears open on Wieters. If Matt Wieters gets to that point where he's willing to sign 1 year and $8 million, something like that, the Braves might be in play. But I don't see Scott Boras allowing that to happen. I don't think Matt Wieters wants that to happen. Maybe if we get to that point, then the plans would be changed. But as they move forward, I think you're going to look at Tyler Flowers and Anthony Wrecker beginning of the season there as their catchers. As you move forward, this is an area where they do have to address at some point within the next year. With Flowers, they're going to be a free agent after this year. This is the one area of their farm system that they're not well-stocked. They've even got Alex Jackson, the Mariners prospect that they acquired back in December. They've got him. He'll be doing some work behind the plate for the first time in maybe 3 years now. They're going to see, you know, he was a high school catcher, you know, see if he can do some work behind the plate. This is all an attempt to fill an area of need within what is an otherwise pretty rich pipeline. But at the catcher's position, there really isn't a lot to look forward to. So they have to look at the next few years. You know, obviously Alex Jackson is not going to be available next year. So within the next few months, or, you know, next 12 months at least, you and I are going to have more conversations about what will they do at catcher. But for the immediate, from the media plants, you know, look for Flowers and Record to begin the season as their catchers.
You kind of know what you're getting with those two guys as far as production and what they can do behind the plate. But how about dealing with young pitching? Because obviously the Braves are going to have more and more of this young pitching coming up through the system. A lot of it was up last year. There'll be more to come. Is Tyler Flowers a guy that they like, just being a guy that these pitchers can lean on and depend on as their guy behind the plate?
I think Tyler Flowers is a great guy to talk to. I think that he works very hard on his defense. You know, you can look at his caught stealing numbers last year and talk about, you know, it was, you know, historically, you know, near historically bad. So he, you know, that's obviously an area of concern. But at the same time, he, you know, if you believe in pitch framing, he checks off that box really well. He's one of the better in terms of metrics. He rates there really high the last couple of years. And, you know, he truly is a guy who takes the pitchers do like communicating with it. He's easy to talk to. He knows what he's doing. He's learned the craft really well. I do think that they do have some trust in him being a guy that these young kids can be comfortable with. Like I said, you can look at the caught stealing numbers last year and have, you know, definite reasons for concern. But at the same time, here's a guy who's going to be able to call a good game and talk to these pitchers, provide the comfort that they need. And you know, from most aspects behind the plate, he's certainly above average.
So that's your situation behind the plate as far as the Atlanta Braves go. Heading into 2017, barring any big story, I guess, over the next month or so, we'll break down each position as we go along, Mark, between now and pitchers and catchers reporting from the outfield to the infield, starters and relievers. Great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.